a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros took down the Red Sox yesterday. They have the day off. 4-1, they win. Yiner Diaz had a home run, 3 runs batted in. Hunter Brown went 6 2/3, and the Astros bullpen shut the door despite no Josh Hader. Bennett Sousa faced 4 batters, struck out 3 of them. Brian Abreu came in the 9th, struck out 2, was hitting 100-plus on the radar gun, and very, very emotional out there. Here are his 6 fastest pitches. 100.5, the 6th fastest pitch he's ever thrown. 99.6, another 99.6, 99.5, and 99.1. And he was very emotional afterwards. And maybe, just maybe, at least from a closer perspective, the Astros are going to be fine. Now, if you've listened to Dana Brown, if you've listened to Joe Espada, they have both said, we're not going to call anyone a closer. We're just going to use pitchers in tough situations. Okay, sure, fine, whatever. I can understand that. But I feel like Brian Abreu is definitely the closer when Josh Hader's not here. You don't have to say it if you don't want to create an issue for Josh Hader, who's on the injured list for the first time. And I'm assuming pitchers probably have some of the intricacies that a kicker might have, maybe a little superstitious, maybe a little territorial. I think Ryan Presley was pretty upset about being demoted from that closer role when they brought Josh Hader in, felt disrespected when they did it. So they're handling this with kid gloves, at least when talking about it. But Abreu looked great last night. And Abreu, at some point, is probably going to get paid, because Brian Abreu is not making Josh Hader money. I mean, Josh Hader, 5-year, what, $90 million contract? Brian Abreu, meanwhile, 1 year, $3.45 million. This is definitely going to give him quite the case in arbitration this offseason. They avoided arbitration this past year, and he will be an unrestricted free agent in 2027. So he's building a case to potentially be a closer at some point. He will be 30 when his contract with the Astros expires after the 3rd round of arbitration, but he's got closer stuff. 1 game's enough for me.
No, I mean, it is 1 game, but it's not 1 game. I mean, he's been at this level, at the level he's at right now, for the last, 4 years, mm-hmm. 3 years?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was always one of the best setup men in baseball.
For sure.
Now, I do think you're right to bring up his contract situation, that maybe not for the arbitration to be on the Astros next year. I don't know how much that mattered. Probably swings it a little bit his way if he picks up some saves here the last month or so of the season. But to me, it's almost like, not like a tryout, but it's like an audition for when he becomes a free agent, that, mm-hmm. hey, if a team needs a closer, when I'm
guy.
Up, I could be that guy, and he could end up making himself a lot of money here.
Good for him. I probably won't be with the Astros, but yeah, given the volatility of a reliever from year to year, it might be for the best the Astros don't bring him back. See what happens with Rafael Montero, and
yeah,
we'll see.
As far as big deals go, yeah,
we'll see what happens with Josh Hader. I mean, this shoulder issue that yeah. has been very, very, very murky. For Joe Spada yesterday, before Astros Red Sox, Hader seeking a second opinion. No word on the first opinion, other than a little longer than 2 weeks. I'm not commenting any further on the matter to give Josh his space. Hopefully, this does not mean long-term issues for Hader. At the very least, it's not an elbow. Could be worse, but shoulder discomfort to shoulder strain. This is going to take a little bit longer than the 2 weeks. Not trending in the right direction, that's for damn sure. I saw this thrown out by Ari Alexander of Channel 2, who has been breaking some
Astros news from time to time. By the way, he said, as far as Ryan Presley, don't expect it because some people want to see a Ryan Presley return. Okay, okay. Keep your secrets, Ari. But Ari posted yesterday, I'd prefer they make AJ Blueball a reliever because he's high 90s. I'd like to see Blueball as a reliever as well. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and you can check this out on my gram at Sports Gallant, where I posted a clip where AJ Blueball says, yeah, man, like the Lord was with me out there, give or take. And then that clip from Angels in the Outfield, where the pitcher helps Mel Clark gets helped by an angel to throw like 115 miles per hour.
Yeah, yeah. And he, not only did he say that, he said that after he had a good relief appearance. Mm-hmm. It was the Marlins game where the Astros used an opener.
Yeah.
And he was kind of the bulk guy.
And he came in and as a reliever. Yeah. He hit 98, I think, high 98.
Yeah. And I think with that kind of stuff, like,
why not?
Yeah. Give him a shot. To me, that's like more attractive of an option than relying
on him as a starter?
Or him as a starter or relying on Luis Garcia to come back and be a reliever. Or Lance McCullers to be a reliever if he comes back.
The McCullers thing, it's almost like it's not happening. But the Garcia one that you mentioned right there, Sean, is interesting.
Yeah.
And another good start for Luis Garcia, who struck out 6 in his latest rehab start. He went 4 2/3, 1 run, 6 hits, and a walk. So more hits than the last time around. I mean, he was lights out the time before.
He was incredible.
Right. So it's also like a bit of a reality check because it's definitely going to take him a little bit of time to get back to form. But Garcia, I would rather have as a starter. And you're right, with Blueball, I would rather have Blueball as a closer right now. And like really at this point in time, okay, hey, you got some questions in the bullpen after at the top, Ryan Abreu and Bennett Souza. F it. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess that's the idea is that either it's one of these starters that are getting essentially demoted or they are kind of unproven or less proven bullpen arms. Just give me the swing at a high upside guy like Blueball in the bullpen because, you know, it's best out of a lot of not bad options but pretty meh options. At least give me something like this. And, you mentioned Luis Garcia, by the way. His velocity was up, I saw, in his rehab, his most recent rehab assignment.
Because that was a concern, I think.
Yeah, that's what Dana said earlier this week, was that his velocity was down. So I think he said it could be a little bit of, like, dead arm or whatever. So we were thinking, like, oh, no,
yeah.
here we go.
Another setback.
Yeah, but he came out, pitched last night, and velocity was up. So that's awesome.
Reinforcements potentially on the way for an Astros team where God just keeps on willing it. And that's nice because it keeps me from going on X and seeing random Astros relievers of yesteryear and texting you up to Ryan Presley, texting you up to Kendall Graveman, who got released, texting you up to Phil Maton, who was under contract with the Rangers. It would be tampering. I thought when I saw this post, it was at Sleeper Astros, you sons of bitches. They were posting, oh, wow, Phil Maton in relief looking great, and he gave up 4 runs
in an
inning.
That's like the new...
I wonder if he punched a phone afterwards.
That's like the new...
I would.
Justifiably. I would hope he learned his lesson.
Did miss a World Series, that's true.
The baseball Twitter joke is that... Because I saw that with the Bellinger play against the Astros, where it's like, Cody Bell, watch this throw by Cody Bellinger to get Altuve at the plate. And it's the one that he threw, like, sideways, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's, like, the new, like, running meme for the highlight, for, you know, the jokey highlights to put the caption of, like, oh, my God, watch this. And it's an absolute disaster.
That is Sean Mays behind the glass and Paul Gallant, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We did this earlier. Who's on the Mount Rushmore of sports villains for your Houston Astros? Because I am officially putting a guy last night on the list, and I'm thinking about another guy from last night being put on that list. You'll find out who we're talking about next. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Stay tuned.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros looking to go up a game and a half in the American League West. Last night they beat the Red Sox 4-1. The Mariners got walked off by the Orioles last night, so the Astros lead currently a game in the West. And if this rain delay holds, and it's been holding for a while, the Orioles, who have a 5-0 lead on the Mariners in the top of the sixth, would get another W to separate a half game between the Astros and the Mariners. So, AL West tied Wednesday. Game and a half lead for the Astros going into a series against this very same Baltimore team, potentially, this weekend at Daikin Park. We put a couple of names out there for you as far as the Mount Rushmore of individuals in baseball who are enemies of the Houston Astros. Number one has to be Mike Fiers. He's the whistleblower on the sign-stealing scandal. Number two is Adolis Garcia. He plays for the Rangers, and he has owned you his entire career. In particular, he really owned you in the American League Championship Series back in 2023, where he really did whatever he wanted. After that, I am going to put Alex Cora in this conversation. Cora, you could argue, is the reason that the Astros 2017 World Series isn't looked at seriously. I believe that he and Carlos Beltran were, more than anyone, the ringleaders of that sign-stealing campaign that they ran. AJ Hinch probably should have done more about it. Astros players certainly should have done more about it if they didn't like it. Altuve didn't like it. But Alex Cora and his obsession with winning led to that, and it seems that he has learned nothing from it, just given the way that he operates. Whether it's doing things that piss other teams off involving sign stealing, or last night, where in the sixth inning and the seventh inning, he was trying to get umpires to call a balk on Hunter Brown. And then he got tossed by an umpire who has a history with him. Cora actually promised, what's this guy's name? Valentine is the umpire. He had, since he's been tossed so many times by Junior Valentine, Cora had promised him before this series, I'm not going to get ejected, but he was ejected. He just wasn't ejected by Junior Valentine. He was ejected by Ryan Blakeney. Junior Valentine sounds like a 1930s mobster. Hey, Junior, get over here. I need you to do something about that thing.
Going by, like, Junior as the first name, that is something that, I guess I'm just thinking of Junior Soprano.
But yeah.
There seems to be a lot of juniors and the thirds that get put on, like, people's jerseys or that, you know, are part of their, you know, professional name or whatever. I think RG3 was the guy who kind of exploded it recently. You don't see a lot of junior, you know, like Bronny James going as Junior James. Like,
you don't see,
like,
that.
That'd be crazy.
So Indiana Jones and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, John Connery's playing Junior, the whole movie.
Don't call me Junior.
Don't call me Junior, Pop. Hey, Alex Cora is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of Astros villains after last night. Like, I've had enough. Remember the story, too, where he got into it almost with Astros broadcaster Jeff Blum. Evan Drellick put this out August 31st, 2017. Cora, the Astros bench coach, cursed out Jeff Blum as the team bus traveled from the airport to Minute Maid Park in Houston. The Red Sox admitted they heard about this. This is right after they had hired him to be manager. When NBC Sports Boston reached out to them for comment, Cora's outburst towards Jeff Blum, also a former Major League veteran, stemmed from the broadcaster asking Cora to turn the music down on the bus. He later got in a verbal confrontation with AJ Hinch after the bus arrived. Neither altercation became physical.
Multiple sources confirmed Cora had been drinking prior to the outburst, but noted that it's not uncommon for teams to indulge themselves on travel days. There are no indications Cora has any issue controlling his alcohol intake. Also, context added to the story as if this makes it okay. Like, hey, sometimes I get drunk on travel days. The incident took place when the Astros were returning home for the first time since Hurricane Harvey hit Houston. Cora was additionally stressed about his home of Puerto Rico, which would soon be ravaged by Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria. Cora apologized to both Blum and Hinch, expressed embarrassment. You'll learn how to overcome. It happens on every team. What, getting drunk and yelling at somebody? People have disagreements. Sometimes it's about life. Sometimes it's about the game. The good thing is that you work with people that you respect and they respect you. You move on and you learn from it and you keep getting better. I don't know how many people in baseball respect Alex Cora as much as they are concerned and paranoid maybe about Alex Cora, given the sign-stealing stuff, and also given that he's doing whatever it takes to help his team out, which, hey, there's a nobility in that. But, I mean, when you're going out multiple times in a game because of a ball call, or when you're going after Justin Verlander to the point where Verlander, who played for you, says, F off, Alex, you can understand why people are starting to get pissed with him. And I think he's a fair person to put on the Mount Rushmore of Astros villains. We liked Scott Service in that spot, but the Mariners never beat the Astros. Cora's Red Sox did beat the Astros in the playoffs back in 2018.
When they were cheating.
Allegedly.
The thing with Alex Cora, especially after yesterday's game, but it also applies to the Justin Verlander clip from a few years ago now, is that it's very hard to be the, hey, rules are rules guy. Hey, you can't do that guy. While also being suspended a year for being one of the ringleaders of the sign-stealing scandal. Like, it's hard to be both things. It's hard to be, I am looking for every edge I possibly can, maybe including having a camera film catcher signs and then someone relay that via trash can in the tunnel.
Maybe.
It's hard to do that and then also be the, hey, you can't pitch like that. That's a balk. Like, it's you really can't be both guys where it's I'm willing to break the rules, but also rules are rules. I'm just, hey, Junior Valentine, I'm just trying to talk it out.
Hey, Junior, come on. Come on, guy.
You know me.
You know me. Oh, you know I'm good for it. Please, don't throw me out. Let me stay. So Mount Rushmore of Astros enemies, individuals, for me, and I posted this on X, Echelon says, Sean's at Sean A. Mapes, behind the glass. Mike Fiers, Adolis Garcia, Alex Cora, Albert Pujols. I mean, Pujols you have to put on there. A couple of texters are saying, where's Pujols? Don't worry, Pujols is on it. From the 832, Howie Kendrick and his annoying-ass home run. Fair one.
That's fair. The thing is that it's like one home run.
Yeah.
Where the other players, like Pujols does have the one signature home run.
Jeff Blum has a home run against the Astros.
Exactly. Exactly. Blum should be on honorable mention.
That's what Josh Ennis posted.
It'd be a very funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Howie Kendrick just has, like, if he was great all series inexplicably, that'd be one thing.
Right.
But it is just kind of the one home run that also Will Harris should hold a piece of that, and AJ Hinch should also hold a piece of that. But I think that's what separates him from Garcia and Pujols, because those guys were good against the Astros for a while.
Will Harris had a couple of moments like that. 2015,
yeah.
2015 against the Royals.
Will Harris honorable mention.
but like he was trying his hardest for the Astros, and he generally was good those years.
He was good
years.
In between those moments.
Yeah. Honorable mentions, Aaron Judge, because he talked bleep about Altuve, but he's never done anything against the Astros. Same thing with Mike Trout. Cody Bellinger, same thing.
Yeah, like a lot of people, especially after 2019, like when Mike Fiers revealed the sign-stealing scandal, Trevor Bauer, same thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talked. You have to do more than just like, hey, they stole an MVP.
Exactly.
They stole a ring. Like,
you have to damage them.
Yeah, it has to be on the field.
Bellinger's career is outside of, what, 2 years ago or last year? Like, it's kind of sucked since.
He had one resurgent,
That happened. For the 3-4-6, Joe Kelly, top five, for sure. Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I think Kelly might be the last, if we're doing Mount Rushmore, it's four faces. He might be number five.
Yeah. Someone texted in, Joe, I'm a bitch, Kelly. I would have liked to see Joe Kelly instead of walking off the diamond. Kelly does have a crazy streak in him. I would have liked to see Kelly actually, you know, go through it.
Yeah. He is built like really, like he is very skinny.
He's very spindly.
Yeah.
I would feel comfortable going up against him in a fight, assuming he doesn't get to throw something at me on the way over.
Okay.
Another texter. What about Juan Soto? Yeah, Soto's up there.
Soto's close.
I think the Soto, like the constant reminders of, hey, Juan Soto's Juan Soto.
And yeah.
Young and man was, on the broadcast.
He was
that
good
annoying.
In that series, too. In the 19 World Series.
Someone is texting about the that pitch was down and away. Out of the strike zone. That home run was insane. I'm assuming this is the Howie Kendrick
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Who is on the Mount Rushmore of Astros enemies? Me. I say. Alex Cora, Adolis Garcia, Mike Fiers. And Albert Pujols. Ugh. You can respond to that. Akawan says, if you so choose, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. Some thoughts on what I saw at Texans practice today. And how far is too far? A couple of NFL teams not looking so hot. And would you pay this, Oklahoma Sooner fans out there, to get a once-in-a-lifetime experience? Stay put. How far is too far is next.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Who's on the Mount Rushmore of Houston Astros enemies? You can join on the X. Dustin is sources comments. That bitch who won't shut up about Clayton Kershaw. Who's that? Off the top of my head, I don't know. Someone help me out. Give me an assist there. From the 832, Huey in Spring suggests the Astros training staff.
I think they deserve a mention, given the last couple years.
Playoff Kyle Tucker writes another texter. That's a fair one.
Got them dust busted last year.
That's true. 281, Texan C.B. Bucknor. John has a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in town. John, what you got?
I was thinking about it, and has anybody mentioned Max Scherzer? Because he was on the Nationals when they beat us, and then he was on the Rangers when beat us in 2023. And he was also teammates with Verlander, and allegedly they didn't get along too well, so we should not like him for that as well.
Good point. I forgot about that little wrinkle at the very end. Yeah, someone I think had suggested Scherzer. They didn't outline it quite like John did there. So, John, appreciate your contribution there. Yeah. Enemies of the Houston Astros.
I think he was hurt in 2019 and came back to like pitch in Game 7.
That sounds right.
Like it was something like that where, you know, you thought you were out and then he shows up and obviously beats you.
I will say with the Rangers, I feel like he helped the Astros out when he was with the Rangers.
Yeah, he wasn't as good with the Rangers.
If I'm not mistaken, I feel like
he was good in the regular season. He was bad in the playoffs.
I feel like when he came back, I feel like the Astros had they worked him in one of those games. Could be wrong though. Again, all of this stuff's a blur. All those El Tiempo margaritas. My goodness,
it's a lot of El Tiempo margaritas ago.
Mm-hmm. How far is too far? It's a little game we play every single Thursday at 2:30. Hit it.
Paul Gallant asks a simple question: how far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? But you gotta ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
How far is too far? Ever want to go to a post-game press conference? If you want to go to a post-game press conference after Oklahoma, Michigan, you can be in attendance there for the price of just $692.11 per person.
I thought El Tiempo margaritas were bad. At least they're $23.
At least you get a drink.
Yeah. You want to go to a coach's press conference? I don't even want to go to coach's press conferences anymore.
This is one of those things where I think unless you've been in, covered one or just been inside the room where one's going on, it's not worth $700.
No.
It's not close.
Unless you want to be the peanut gallery and cheer the coach clowns a reporter or something like that.
Yeah, I bet they throw you out, though.
I don't know. They might not if you're paying $692.11 to be there.
Maybe not. But I you don't get to ask a question.
Get exclusive post-game media access for you and one guest and see where real-time reactions unfold. Hear OU coaches and players address reporters moments after the final whistle. Man, it's like they're animals in a cage. Frame it like that.
It is a little bit of the Dalton Schultz talking about being a Dallas Cowboy energy to it. And also, high risk, high reward because this is for the Michigan game, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a chance
that. Could be mad.
Yeah, that is bad.
Yeah. Unless you don't like Lincoln Riley and you want to ask
Brent
a
Venables.
Question. My bad, Brent Venables. Yeah. Unless you don't like him and they're like, hey.
Sir, please resign.
Yeah, exactly. Which, hey, worth it.
That would be worth it. That would get you, like, thrown out, but that would
be.
As you're getting, like, hauled away by whatever the state troopers.
That would be fun.
Sir, this is unacceptable.
You'd be able to say that the rest of your life. You could also say you suck or something, too. Yeah. Watch the story take shape through the questions, the insights, and the atmosphere that set the headlines. Okay. $692 for that.
$600.
Everything's expensive now.
But you can get a way better time spending $600 at an Oklahoma Sooners game.
That's two tickets for a full weekend of ACL. Like, I mean, that's expensive, too. But
yes. Come
on. What are we doing? All right. How far is too far? Is it too far to go barefoot everywhere like Patriots wide receiver Mac Hollins? Here he is weighing in on the matter.
On the walk in, yeah. Walk in, no matter what the temperature is, I'm going barefoot.
Why but if it gets so, below 35, so to it? Grounding.
It's just, I don't know. I think the word I guess people use would be the pussification of America. People are so soft now. Like, do something hard for once. It's not even hard to wear no shoes. But, like, if it gets below 35, I'm not an idiot. Like, I'll put shoes on. But walking into games, no matter what, I have to be barefoot.
If it's cold, so 35 degrees or lower, he will wear something on his feet. He's going to get hurt. He's going to step on something at some point. And I don't want a Patriots wide receiver to be out with some sort of baseball injury.
Stepped on a rusty nail. Out for week 8.
I do like his flex, because you would think there would be some sort of hippie reason to not wear shoes, saying the pussification of America. That is a flex I would not have expected from someone who's walking barefoot all the time.
Yeah, one of the interviewers did go, like, grounding, which is a thing for, like, your feet should feel the earth, whatever, once a day or whatever the mantra is. And he's just like, nope, it's because people are soft. You should be walking around barefoot more often.
Yeah. By the way, walking around barefoot, I can't do it for that long because my feet start hurting. You know why? Because I have bad arcs. And then I start getting super bad plantar fasciitis. So I always got to wear orthotics or a pair of slippers that I wear that have like a raise in the middle. Yeah, it sucks.
Don't tell Matt Collins.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, me being the P word, that's not surprising to most of the people listening to the show. I'll admit it. How far is too far? Is Justin Fields perhaps focusing on the wrong book, not a playbook?
I would say I just kind of got like this the past 6 months, to be honest with you.
You said 6 months ago, what triggered that?
Yeah, I mean, me really getting closer to God, like I said, my relationship, me reading the Bible every day. And if I'm being real, there's some great lines, some great wisdom that I didn't even know of, so I'm low-key addicted to, like, getting my Bible each and every day just because I learn something new every day and I'm able to apply it in my everyday life. But, I mean, I was sleeping on reading the Bible earlier in my life, and I wish I would have started earlier. So I encourage y'all to, you know, go read a little bit, start in Proverbs and move on from there.
Hey, Justin, focus on the playbook, buddy. Focus on the playbook. This is my advice for the Jets. It's not meant to be sacrilegious in any way, shape, or form. Hey,
Listen, the Bible is the Bible. There's a big feature, I think, in Hard Knocks episode one, where some guy's carrying around a just completely beat-to-hell Bible, which he should have taken a little bit better care of. I get that, but like, hey, man, this is your last chance, literally. This will be your last chance to be a starter ever. I'm just saying, you know, focus on the right things. I say the same thing to Mike McDaniel. How far is too far? Is it too far after a practice where the Lions are outwardly questioning how hard the Dolphins practice? Do you want to hear this from head coach Mike McDaniel after that goes down?
Absolutely. I graduated high school in 2001. I was a sophomore in high school when his first album came out. And, who doesn't know the 8 Mile Anthem, you know? I actually reference, I call it an 8 Mile, is when you, do this battle rap thing where you just say all the things that people know to be true and then what. So, yeah, I really wish you'd bring him to practice. It would be cool.
All right, he's quoting 8 Mile. I mean, I know that some Dolphins reporters asking a quirky question there to get that kind of response because they love it when Mike McDaniel says funny things.
And I assume they're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the
could
connection.
Be a Detroit guy as well. Yeah. There's that too. But I don't know. I would say for all three of these teams, like, just keep your head down.
I think yes.
The Patriots, advice... Jets, Dolphins. Like, you're in the same division as the Bills. Keep your head down.
Oh, I didn't even realize this.
It's an
all
AFC segment, yeah.
But yeah, Mike McDaniel specifically, just until you make the playoffs, just turn
again
down the quirk.
Right.
We still love it. It's not like you're talking more and we realize that we don't actually like it. No, it's all stuff that would have flown year one, you know?
Exactly.
It's year three now. Yeah. It's just like, hey, let's just turn it down a notch of like, you don't have to take the bait of the quirky question every time.
I'm with you. I think McDaniel's second job is going to be good. I think the Dolphins are going to be a mess this coming season.
I'd believe that.
How far is too far continues. This is in tennis. Mats Rosenkrantz was disqualified after winning his first set against Pietro Orlando Felin. Why? Because he went to the toilet to take a shower. An umpire called a supervisor. It was decided this was a code violation.
So he went back to the tunnel.
Yes.
And said it was a bathroom break, but he went to take a shower.
Yes.
Huh.
First off, I mean, soft. Showering in the middle of a sporting
event.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing?
You're going to get sweaty again. Like, unless you pooped yourself. I mean, I can't see a reason to shower.
I was going
to
say, that's the card he needs to play. And that's an embarrassing one.
Yeah.
But I think
it's better than getting disqualified.
Yes, he was like, "Hey, even if it was like, hey, listen, I didn't poop myself, but they didn't have it was only single ply in there."
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, give myself a clean. I'll put on the white shorts again before going back out there.
That
I can at least like, okay, whatever. It's weird. I don't know if it should be a disqualification, but I'm also not going to like stand on the table for this guy cuz it is weird.
More. How far is too far? Did Lamar Jackson go too far in his trademark battle with Troy Aikman over number 8? I think he thought there might be confusion, and it is true. Lamar Jackson and Troy Aikman look the same. I don't see color.
Yeah.
So I guess you could confuse Troy Aikman, Cowboys quarterback from 30 years ago, with Lamar Jackson.
Current Baltimore Ravens.
Right, current Ravens never play for the same team. It is weird to trademark a number.
Yeah, isn't it like his beer?
His beer is number 8. His beer isn't bad, by the way.
Really? Troy
Aikman's beer.
It?
I've had Troy Aikman 8. It's actually pretty good. One of my friends had it there. I was like, oh, is this the Aikman beer? Actually, it wasn't bad.
It's good for that reason alone. It's like, if I ever see it, that's like, well, I'll try it. You know, like, it is something. I trust Troy Aikman with this. But yeah, I don't know what the battle. I mean, I assume he trademarked like 8 beer or whatever it's called.
I guess he trademarked 8 because Jackson has withdrawn his challenge to Aikman's use of the number on apparel and bags. Jackson believed it would cause confusion for consumers. We should say Jackson's lawyers. yeah. as to whether they're buying products from Jackson or Aikman. And yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. Aikman responded to this suit when it was originally placed in July of last year. Hey, Lamar, looks like a worthy conversation over a couple of cold 8 beers. Maybe Steve Young can arbitrate. Also number 8.
Yeah, also number 8. I would understand. So now that I understand a little bit more, I would see it if the style of 8 is similar. If it's like the same, because I assume.
It's the Ravens 8 and the Cowboys 8.
Yeah, but the Ravens 8 is more kind of cursive.
Totally different font.
It's a rounder. Right. It's a the point. Cowboys are more blocky.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it was more. I mean, funny brings up Steve Young. Steve Young, like, the Niners 8 is more like the Cowboys. I could see that. As like, hey,
and they played at the same time.
Yeah,
and they
these
played
are a little
against
confusing.
Each other. One got yeah. they actually beat each other.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
in the playoffs games. So that makes sense. Yeah, it's also just weird to trademark a number. I mean, I like even Tom Brady number 12. There's been so many great number 12s. Like he's TB12. He's not 12.
Yeah, I think you have to
LJ8. Why not that?
I think you have to put your own spin on it.
L8J.
Yeah,
sounds like a late J, huh?
I'm so Troy funny. Aitman.
That works.
There you go. File that one, Troy.
That would have worked. All right, guys. That is How Far Is Too Far every single Thursday at 2:30. Up next, garbage time. The return of a Houston sports team on the horizon. Get excited, folks. That and more. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? You do now. It's not always low prices just in the store. Now it's online. Did you know they have more than 500 million items online? Who knew? You do. You can find a huge selection that you can't find in stores on Walmart's website. And for certain items, they will deliver it in as fast as an hour. What? Yeah, that's a new thing. Do you want to go to the grocery store and, you know, it's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You got to take all the bags in. If you're a man, you're taking all the bags in one trip. I mean, you have to if you're a man. Sorry, to mansplain, bringing the bags in from the grocery store. But do you want to do that when you could just have Walmart do it for you? Walmart will deliver the groceries to you. Yeah. And by the way, Walmart's grocery prices, just as low as their prices for everything else. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? You do! Go to walmart.com to order and get something delivered right now.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Fun little tidbit from Will Kunkel. The Astros are going to retire Billy Wagner's number 13, on Saturday. And still waiting to see if Mariners Orioles will get called. Mariners trail the Orioles 5-0 in the top of the sixth inning in a game that is in the midst of a rain delay. Mariners lost last night to the Astros in sole possession of first place in the American League West. And it does seem like the Mariners are going to lose some ground while the Astros have the day off before they start a 3-game series at Daikin Park this weekend. Also, I was out at Texans training camp and I think the offense is making some progress. It's slow progress. A lot of competition at wide receiver. Defense seemingly had a really good day against Bryce Young, who was tiny. I was out there. It's something else to see how small he is at the same field level as him. But the Texans defense said to themselves, yeah, we could do better, which I like to hear.
Yeah. No, I like
high standard.
It is funny. You normally hear about like how weird it is seeing like Yao in person or like Victor in person. I think Bryce Young on an NFL field is kind of the opposite.
I feel like I'm watching flag football.
Yeah, where you're like, wow, that guy. And it makes it, and a certain extent, it makes it more incredible how small he is and the fact he's like even kind of doing this at the NFL level. But yeah, that's something that I'm sure when you actually see him on the same level, because especially at practice, like, you're not in the press box. You're on the field with them. So yeah, crazy.
Time for some garbage time before we get out and turn things over to the Killer Bees.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Whoa, WNBA basketball, you could be back. A texter asks, who cares about the WNBA, Paulie? Well, I care, to quote Luke Skywalker. Houston is the league's preferred landing spot for the Connecticut Sun. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert has made the league's preference known, saying Houston's up next when it comes to the timeline for evaluating bids for expansion or perhaps moving the Connecticut Sun, whose future in Connecticut is in doubt. Because Connecticut, get this, people, sucks. Connecticut sucks. F that state. It's just like a pain in the ass. Connecting Massachusetts to New York, and like, it literally is just 3 hours you'll never get back. That is what Connecticut has always been to me growing up, driving from Massachusetts to the South Jersey area to go visit my grandma for, like, we do this a couple times a year. Connecticut, it just ruins everything because it's the longest. Like, you can drive in the Northeast and go through like eight states in like 12 hours. Connecticut is the one it takes the longest to get through, amazingly.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I would have thought they moved to Boston, but I guess that's just kind of... Because Boston is also supposed to be they want a team.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. And I'll take them. That's how I think we both feel about the WNBA.
Something else to talk about. Maybe we'll get some fights.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some fights like this happening across the WNBA.
Trade for injuries. That's Comets and then trade for injuries.
Yeah.
And then we're in. We'll do a WNBA segment.
The heel team. They're the bad boy Pistons.
The high heels.
By the way, yeah, there was a WNBA fight last night. Three players got ejected. Wow. That's what the WNBA is. It's like a lot of fighting. People don't really think about
that. It is the old NBA.
One of the last huge posts that I had on Instagram at Sports Gallant was talking about how the WNBA is the Big East basketball that we all claim to miss. And 80s basketball.
Yeah.
Because it is. Like, they're kicking each other out there. What else do we have here in garbage time? Did you know you could win a $7 million resort in the Texas Hill Country for just $10 via a raffle? I actually bought a ticket for this last night.
So they're like...
It's a $7 million resort. It's got yurts.
Oh, love a yurt.
Yeah. And all you got to do is pay $10.
And you own it?
You could win it.
Wow.
Right. The owners need to sell about 848,500 raffle tickets to create the revenue needed.
That's a smart idea. That's very like Willy Wonka of them. Mm-hmm. Is to like, well, hey, you can buy. Everyone pays $10, and we'll pick a winner. That's actually a crazy, crazy idea because you make your money that way.
Yeah. From there, the new owners can choose to acquire the property or elect to take their winnings in the sum of $1 million, which is what I would do. If the property owners do not sell the minimum threshold of tickets, the raffle winner will instead be awarded a cash sum amounting to 50% of the sold tickets. That's actually pretty cool. I've never heard of this before, but I guess this is also happening in Ireland. There's a cottage like being sold, and it's $10 a ticket.
That's interesting. So, again,
real estate market's kind of crazy now, so screw it.
This is what I would do.
Turn it over to the gods.
Yeah. Change a person who would never buy a $7 million thing. Change their life.
Yeah. Could be, and listen, you know.
You could be the next Charlie.
A lot of yurts.
I might just live in the yurts, dude.
Looks pretty cool. A Caribbean disturbance is tracking in the Gulf.
Great.
Yeah, I know.
Love to hear that.
Yeah. It was going to happen sooner or later. So,
batten down the hatches.
Just keep an eye out. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Mike Sando of The Athletic, who talked about his quarterback's tears piece. Big thanks to our callers, texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, appers, and of course, the one, the only, Sean Mapes behind the glass.
I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next, and we'll be out at Brick House in Humble tomorrow. Peace!